Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Kay Puttock, your host for today, here together with Ursula Rudenberg. Hello, Ursula.
Hello, Kay, and hello to you, the listener. It's good to have you with us.
And welcome to our Spring Pledge Drive Week. We're kicking off KHOI's Spring Drive today. It'll be a fun week. Pledge drives always have a special energy. We spend more time together at the station, and we show you a little more of the inside of KHOI.
And we love the support we get from you. Our goal is $15,000 and 100 new members this week. So please be generous with us. Donate by calling 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or you can donate online at khoifm.org, where you can click the donate button. KHOI is your radio station. It's a valuable public service worthy of support.
Ursula, you're here today partly in the role of a guest, since we're planning to talk about something you did.
Yes, we normally don't make ourselves the subject of local talk stories, but this is kind of a special occasion.
You are one of the two artists who painted the Ames History mural in Tom Evans Park at the western end of Main Street. It's a two-story mural that shows highlights of Ames history, including large portraits of Ames founders Cynthia Duff and John Blair. We're talking about the mural because it will be removed within the next few weeks.
Yes, and Jane Graham from Nevada is the other artist who created the mural. Jane and I were artistic partners for many years, and Jane is here with us as well. Welcome, Jane, and thank you for coming.
We're going to look back at the life of the Ames History mural this hour. I should also say there will be a farewell ceremony for the mural on May the 2nd. The Ames History Center and Ames Cart are planning the ceremony, which will happen at 10 a.m. at the wall in Tom Evans Park. May the 2nd is also the first day of the farmers market, so it will be part of that.
Before we get too deeply into the mural itself, we have two other guests in the studio with us, Randy Pyle, who is the owner of the building where the mural is.
Thank you for having me.
And Carrie Dixon from the City of Ames Public Arts Commission.
Good morning. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for coming and welcome to Local Talk. And we wanted to start out by asking you to explain what is happening right now. Randy, what is going to happen to the wall where the mural is?
Well, we're going to remove the mural, and there's quite a bit of damage behind the mural. It's pretty visible when you go up to it, actually. You can see cracking along that portion of the wall. And, there's some delamination of the sealants, and there's also, some sections of the actual mural that are falling off. And so what I'm proposing that I would like to do is there's actually two windows that are covered up by the mural. I'm actually going to, after the removal of that mural, we're going to open up those windows again. And we're going to seal that side, that wall, and then we're going to repaint it back to the original color that the building was made, which is actually gray with white highlights.
So this will be the historic version of the building as it originally was?
Yeah. I'm going to try to go back as original as I can. There's a little bit of architectural work that needs to be done, and it's a beautiful building. It's the first fireproof building in Ames. Built back in 1911, is actually first painted in 1913.
So the building was built in 1911.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it originally?
It was a flower shop. The Olsons owned it. It was a very modern building for the time. So 2 foot thick concrete walls. Actually, the whole building is poured concrete. So first of its kind in Ames.
Okay. And when will the construction start?
Shortly after the event that you have coming up to celebrate the mural. So
the event will be on May 2nd, which is a Saturday. So you're thinking the week after that weekend, the construction will start.
That is correct, yeah.
And are you literally taking the wall down, or what are you actually doing to the wall?
No, we'll just be removing the paint. The original windows, like I said, were in there. And replacing, putting the windows back in, and then painting the building back to the way it was. But I think it should look really great when it's done.
So do you like the mural?
Yeah, actually I do. I really do like
it. So you're not taking it down because you don't like our mural?
No. Not the case. It's more of a concern of water getting in. We've had some water problems in the beginning mm-hmm. since I bought that building.
Yeah.
And it's been my main goal since I bought that building to stop the water. And there's a lot of concern with that cracking, that water can come through those cracks and go through the building. And the way that concrete works is that once water gets into that concrete, it can go anywhere in the building.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unique just because of how porous the concrete is.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my concern comes in if the water comes in through that cracking and it ruins, you know, maybe some drywall or something else, that's something that some liability comes into issue. And I really don't want to see my tenants disrupted with their business activities. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, Carrie, you're also joined us this morning. Thank you, Randy, for any other comments before we speak with Carrie?
No, I think that this is just going to really help out the look of the building. Just because, as you can see, I was kind of sealing the rest of the building. If you ever walk past 400 Main, you can see it kind of looks like there's spider webs all over the building.
Yeah, there's one, right. Mm-hmm.
So that's me sealing all the other walls to try to stop the water. But the one place I cannot touch is the mural. It's not mine to touch. It's actually, according to the agreement that I have with the city, it's their responsibility to maintain and update that. So my concern is if I can't go in there and make the proper repairs and make the proper, you know, things to stop that water, if I can't legally do that, then, we need to figure out some way that we can. And I think this is probably the solution.
Okay. Well, speaking of the city, let's speak with Carrie. Carrie Dixon is with the Ames Public Arts Commission, or City of Ames Public Arts Commission. And this is an appointed position by the mayor. It's an appointed commission. And basically, as I understand it, the Public Arts Commission recommends funding for public art and develops promotional projects for public art in the city. Can you elaborate a little bit about what exactly the Public Art Commission does?
Yeah, we have three main groups within the commission. We've got our collections maintenance unit, and that's a subcommittee that deals with the collections that we have throughout the city. Between the AOS exhibit, which is all of the art that comes through on Main Street that comes in, will be installed here pretty quick this spring. The neighborhood arts project, where different neighborhoods come together to be able to use funding that we get from the city to purchase pieces to go out into the neighborhoods across Ames. And then we maintain the collections that we have, whether it's the sculptural pieces or a lot of the two-dimensional pieces that are within City Hall. And then we work to educate the community about art, public art. We have the Art in the Parts project, which happens about every 3 to 4 years as we accumulate funding to do one large installation. And there have been a couple of those here in the last 10 years. The Inukshuk, I think is the name, the way you say it, the pieces that are done in Brookside Park. There was the piece that was installed, the maze piece up at Ada Hayden several years ago that was taken down. And then we're working together to look at another installation that will happen here hopefully next summer. And we're, you know, trying to focus on Tom Evans. And so it's trying to incorporate art into the daily lives of people in Ames, having it on exhibit. We're fortunate that we have the support from the city. We're one of just a couple cities in Iowa that does this. Pella has and Grinnell both have some of these same things. But we work with the communities and neighborhoods and try and bring art into everyday life. And then one of the things we have to do is maintain pieces. And there's not a huge budget for that. And I look back at when the mural was first started, and it really wasn't a Ames Arts Commission project. We sponsored it as they went forward to get grant money, but it kind of grew out of a grassroots committee that started back in 2001. And we requested the city for some funding to go to that. There was grant money that went to that, and then fundraising that involved, you know, a number of individuals within the Ames community to develop the mural. And so we helped sponsor that mural committee as they went forward with grant funding because they needed to be tied to, you know, a non-for-profit entity, which we could do that as being part of the city.
So you were partnering
yep.
with a grassroots group, really?
Yeah, we really mm-hmm. did.
So now the Randy mentioned that there was business with the city in terms of the ownership of the mural and the control of the wall. What is happening now as the public trust, in a way, is being relinquished on this wall?
When the project was initially put together, an easement was set up for 15 years for the city for that wall. And at the same time, there was a maintenance agreement put together, but the two dates didn't mesh. So the easement technically is null in November of 2017, in about 2.5 more years.
So but, the easement essentially says the city has control over
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's sort of – it's like anything that the city or a utility company or something like that would have on any – whether it be a public utility or anything. It says that they have – it's just like the power company and coming – there are easements that run on power lines so that you have to have a certain amount of land on each side of a power line that the utility can get to said utility and maintain it. And that's sort of what this easement is with this. It just says that, you know, the property owner at that time was relinquishing the rights to the exterior surface of this wall so the mural could be installed and that and then the city engaged in a maintenance agreement.
And that easement has not expired yet.
No, the easement expires in 2.5 years, but the maintenance agreement expired about 2 years ago. And so there's about 5 years that were left. And one of the beauties and the downsides of murals, especially in an exterior environment, is they're not necessarily meant to be a permanent installation. Some can be depending on how they're installed, but they're not necessarily meant to be. And unfortunately, the mural just isn't holding up as well now that that maintenance is done. It just isn't holding up as well, I think, as everybody had intended back in 2002 when this project started. And we really don't want to see any more damage to the building. It really is a historic building for the city of Ames. And the fact that Randy wants to come in and really restore this building and do some, you know, we're doing some really neat things downtown and trying to restore the original facades of buildings and bring it back and make it a very vibrant place. The Arts Commission felt that, you know, we really didn't want to stand in the way of that and we didn't want to see the structure damaged anymore, especially in light of, you know, what happened in Kelly just last week where, you know, a back wall falls down.
So what happens now?
So what happens now is we've requested that the city lift the easement. And so because of the way this was done back in 2002 when the easement was put in place, there will be a public hearing on Tuesday night, and then the city will take action to release the easement. Mm-hmm. And at that point then, according to both the easement and then the language of the contracts, is that the city's requirement for that mural is lifted, and then it is the responsibility of the owner to remove it.
And then, Randy, you were nice enough to hold off on starting construction until the Ames Historical Society and Ames Cart is able to do a farewell ceremony on the 2nd of May.
Yeah, I was planning on doing it on the 29th, and then you guys contacted me, and I have no problem with you guys going and celebrating in front of, you know, the mural. I think, like I said, I like it, and I think it's good that we do something for that.
Okay, maybe we'll take the first stab at the mural. On
okay.
that day
yeah,
before you get to it. Well, thank you both. Thank you both of you for coming in and giving us that explanation. We really appreciate it. And thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
It's like a samba, rapidly strumming my heartstrings for you. It can be free, not like Bolero, just to have you in my arms, all I want to do. How can I be your string man, strumming my guitar whenever you're blue? Behind my eyes a waterfall's pouring. You never really knew I love you. Waterfall, 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 waterfall. My heart, it's true, flows like a samba, wandering down this cold stream so blue. When you're with me, it's so soothing. Why do your sad eyes tell me we're through? How can I be your string man, strumming my guitar whenever you're blue? Behind my eyes a waterfall's pouring. You never really knew I loved you. Waterfall, 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 waterfall.
You're listening to Local Talk on KJOI Community Radio. I'm Kay Potter, one of your hosts for today, and we're talking about the Ames History Mural. It's at the west end of Main Street, in Tom Evans Park, a two-story mural depicting Ames' history. The mural is being removed in the next few weeks. Randy Pyle, the owner of the building, has been explaining that he needs to rebuild the wall as part of a restoration for structural reasons, and also there is the desire to restore the windows that were originally in that wall, and he's going to put the original colors there, apparently, too. Also, Kerry Dixon has been explaining how the city is involved in such projects. We thank them both for coming.
And we are your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg and Kay Potok. And as always, it's an honor to be here. And today is especially kind of an interesting day because we're talking about the end of the Ames Historical Mural. And it is also the beginning of the spring fund drive for KHOI Community Radio. And so we are asking you to donate to KHOI today. We hear from listeners and supporters from every day, and they visit the station. They write letters and emails and make phone calls. And we've also asked many community members to meet with us and tell us what they think of KHOI. And we have learned a lot of things from listening. We've learned that you have a love of lifelong learning about the music and about everything in your community. You want substantial, not here today, gone tomorrow content. You expect credibility from us. You hold us to a high standard. And you're curious about what naturally happens, and that's part of really the intelligence of our community. And you have high ideals. And you believe in civility. And you want to preserve and protect the important things in life. These are all goals to which we at KHOR are working hard to achieve. And you can be part of that effort by becoming a member of KHOI or by contributing to the KHOI operating fund if you're already a member. So please call us at 515-292-2878 or pledge online at khoifm.org. So thank you, and thank you for your support of KHOI.
Thank you for that, Ursula. On Local Talk today, we're discussing a different artistic creation from your past, the Ames History Mural, a two-story mural in Tom Evans Park. Ursula, you created that mural in 2003, together with Jane Graham, who's also here with us today.
Hi.
Jane and Ursula.
Hi, team.
Would you describe the mural and its intent? And how was the mural researched? There must have been a lot of research that went into that.
We wanted to have this mural to be a premier piece within the park, and we wanted to go back to what the original mural back in 1976, the bicentennial mural, which was a historic mural. We wanted to use that as a springboard into maintain the history, because we really felt that was important. And so in creating a premier piece of art for this mural, we decided, Ursula and I decided, that instead of going just the occupation of the mural to be just one story, to occupy just one story, we were going to go really large and make it two stories. So,
And in order to find out the historical, what to put on the wall to really represent Ames historically, we spent a lot of time with Mr. Farwell Brown, who really gave us a lot of guidance on what were key images that represented the history of Ames. And we also contacted the Meskwaki Indians, because there is an image on the wall of the people who came before, and one of them is an Indian. And Jane, you also had done some research prior to this mural when you worked, when you did a mural for the Army Corps of Engineers at the Sailorville Dam, and you had studied the prairie plants a lot.
Yes, I learned an just immense amount of information about our landscape and our environment of the highlands and the lowlands of Iowa and the prairie and all that constitutes that, from the original prairie that was here that the Meskwaki Indians would have used as their hunting ground here.
Yeah, funny story about the Meskwaki. I was the one that painted the Indian. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't sure what the Indian should be wearing in the mural. So I called up the History Center in the Meskwaki settlement near Tama, and I spoke with Jonathan Buffalo, who's the historian there, very nice man, friend of ours now. And I said, so I'm painting this Indian hunting. Would he be wearing a loincloth? Kind of following back on stereotypes about Indians. And he said to me, now, if you were going hunting, would you go naked? So he did actually, and as you'll see in the mural, the gentleman hunting is not naked. He's wearing the clothing that Jonathan told me about. And he did say that Ames was a hunting ground for waterfowl, because downtown Ames was essentially a swamp in those days. And so the Indian in the mural, or the Native American, is hunting waterfowl in the picture.
As I recall, the Indian's hair is braided as well.
Yeah, he said the hair would not be open. That right. would be too dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of how we started the mural. The mural was actually painted, as you mentioned, on the side of another mural that had a historical theme. And that was the bicentennial mural, which was painted on the same spot on the first floor in 1976. Jane painted that as well with another artist whom some of you may know, Jean Griffin O'Neill. Jean's work can be seen at the Octagon Art Shop, and we've called Jean at her home in East Grand Forks, Minnesota, to fill us in on some of the background. Jean, are you with us?
Yeah.
Hi, Jean.
Hi, Jean.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Can you speak up a little bit? You're very soft.
Oh, this phone. Yeah. Is that better?
That's better. Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
So, Jean and Jane, why don't you tell us briefly, how did this first mural happen in 1976, which is on the same spot where the current mural is?
Jane, do you want to go first?
There was an ad in the paper, actually, that Martha Benson, who was the director of the Octagon at that time, had the funding for a mural that was on this spot that was going to be a historical mural to celebrate our 200th birthday of this country in 1976. And so I answered the ad, and fortunately I qualified to be that. And Martha wanted to have two artists to do that, and Jean was the second one. And so
we made a collaboration together with Martha Benson, having worked with the senior citizens at the time, to have them to tell stories of their life growing up, what I remember. And from their memories and their little sayings, we created images. Jean was integral in creating wonderful images for this.
Jean, you were a resident of Ames at the time, right? You grew up in Ames?
Yes. I grew up in Ames, and the Bicentennial mural was really, I would have to say, the first work I did as a paid artist, which came to me kind of as a surprise because I was looking for some work, and I probably saw that same ad. I don't remember exactly how I even heard about it, except maybe weren't you painting some stripes on the walls, Ursula?
That's right. We were doing a super graphics project on the back that the Octagon was sponsoring.
Right, and I think I had called the Octagon and asked if I could work on that project because I was looking, and I was taking classes at the Octagon, art classes, and somehow or other, they said yes, you can. We need somebody to do this mural. And it was like, oh, okay. Well, that sounds really interesting and fun. And so that was really, for me, a beginning because suddenly I was being expected to do much more than I had thought I was going to be doing. Like painting stripes is way different from creating history and making all these images that, and it was, I think it was interesting, Jane, that our images were so kind of complementary to each other. Because you were working, I think, mostly from old photographs.
Right.
And I was taking some of those photographs and kind of changing them into a little bit more like picture book drawings or something, if you might describe it that way. Simpler, brighter, flatter colors or something like that. I just felt that, for me, that would work better as a mural, but that's because I hadn't had as much experience as you, I don't think.
One of the things that I remember about the first mural was that it had one image which survived into the second mural, which was the image of the Chautauqua tent.
Mm-hmm. I think I did that one as far as designing it, and I worked from a photograph, but then it seems like I went a little bit. I added some activity, or I can't remember exactly what I did, but to make it feel different, sort of more lively or something. It was a really interesting project for me. It was like just a big door opening because suddenly not only was I doing this art with history involved and people in community, which I've always loved working with community anyway, but we were building scaffolding and climbing up and doing all these things and that I'd never done. So it was really, I guess, made me feel kind of empowering as an artist. And then I really enjoyed the conversations that we had with the people that would come by and talk to us.
And then really this led on to a business that ended up happening between you, myself, Jane, and a few other people in town, Eric Abbott and Todd Michael, called The Active Artists, where we really worked full-time together in a mural painting business.
Yeah, and that was amazing. It was not what I had ever expected when I went to see if I could paint stripes on the back of the building.
And that went on for about 3 years. Until
that did, and then Eric and I continued working through the youth and shelter services painting for several more years in the schools. So we continue that, and then
Eric moved to Minnesota.
Oh, that's right. And then, so then I continued painting murals on my own in the schools.
What is most notable is that just right after the Bicentennial mural and the Active Artists coalesced here, we had an opportunity down in Ottumwa, Iowa, to paint 13 murals down there, which spanned the course of 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That, and it was a wonderful thing.
And we really taught each other how to paint and how to work together.
Yeah.
Well, Jean, thank you so much for joining us. It's really great to hear your voice and have you be part of this conversation. You kind of live on in Ames in your work in the Octagon Shop, and so it's always good to see your prints there.
And maybe I'll see you soon.
Good to hear from you, Jean.
Yeah. It really is.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Cold water surrounds me now. And all I've got is your hand. Lord, can you hear me now? Lord, can you hear me now? Lord, can you hear me now? Or am I lost?
Lord, one's daughter, allow me that. And I can't let go.
I'm Kay Potick, your host for today, and we're talking with Jean Griffin O'Neill and Jane Graham, who painted a bicentennial mural in 1976 in Tom Evans Park. That mural was replaced in 2003 by the Ames History mural, which you can still see today. For a short while, it's scheduled to be removed in the next few weeks. Jean joined us by phone from East Grand Forks, Minnesota, to give us some background. And thanks again, Jean, for taking time to be with us.
This is Local Talk, and I'm your other host for today, Ursula Rudenberg. And before we continue, I'd like to take a moment to ask for your support for KHOI. We're kicking off our fund drive today, so let's get off to a fast start. Our phone number is 515-292-2878, 292-2878. And we do have somebody watching the phones now, so please call 292-2878 or pledge online at khoifm.org.
And getting back to today's topic, We're talking about the end of the Ames History mural, which you can still see for a short while in Tom Evans Park at the western end of Main Street. Jane Graham is also with us. She co-created the Ames History mural with Ursula. The mural is scheduled to be destroyed due to changes and repairs in the wall. There will be a farewell ceremony for the mural on May the 2nd. The Ames History Center and Ames Cart are planning the ceremony, which will happen at 10 a.m. at the wall in Tom Evans Park. May 2nd is also the first day of the farmer's market, so it'll be part of that. So, let's find out a bit more about the mural. After listening to this, you may discover some new things in the mural when you go to the farewell ceremony, or just stop by to look at it for one more time. When did you start on this project?
The concept really was born back in 2001. I had discussed one of the original bicentennial supporters, Dee Hegstrom, and we talked about, and there really needs to be something done about the bicentennial mural, and the concept of replacing it with another mural came up, and then Ursula and I collaborated. We kind of just talked about it, and we thought, well, let's make this really grand. Let's go two stories on this. And so the
mural was painted in 2003, but the planning actually started two years prior to that.
Yes, yes. And through the Public Arts Commission and with the support of Carol Horowitz here, actual fundraising and sponsorship of grant money from the city of Ames and a lot of logistics there, and then actual fundraising started back in 2002 in earnest. There was seed money coming from the Public Arts Commission of $5,000, and we went on from there. There were 50 to 75 individual donors, and that helped advance the entire cost of the mural. We had the downtown business district. There was a 1% sales tax that was devoted for just one weekend as a fundraising issue.
And so there was a long time between the first conception and when it was finally painted.
Yeah.
So how long did it take altogether to finish it?
Well, we started in May.
May of?
Of 2003. And then the mural, I signed it in September.
Okay. Now, this is a big design, two stories, so it must have been quite complicated to execute and design. I'd like you to talk about how you did the design for this big project.
Well, like I say, we wanted to hold true the theme of history, but we expanded it, of course, dictating from the dimension of it being 26 feet tall. We needed to enlarge upon the subject matter as well. So Ursula and I put in our heads together and just brainstorming everything. We came up with this, that we would put the prairie and the origins of the Meskwaki Indian and the family farmers, and then the original prairie. That would be on the upper levels. Because of the being on the upper levels with the prairie and the landscape, you have the sky, so you're lifting up, you know, and the historical elements incorporated the Lincoln Highway, Iowa State College, the farmhouse, of course, the original founders of Ames.
Yeah, and the portrait, who did the two portraits?
Okay, John A. I. Blair, I was the one who did his portrait, and Ursula did Cynthia Duff.
Are those well-known pictures that you use for portraits?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then the Winklers, Jack Winkler, provided the scaffolding for the mural.
Yes, yes, he did. Oh, he has been always just wonderful. He helped me way back in the 1976 bicentennial mural. We had five heights of scaffolding.
Wow.
One height is what, 5 feet tall? And so the scariest part was getting to the very edges of the mural. We had to split, you know, you could, with five heights, you just don't move from one end to the other.
As I remember, we actually had to go out beyond the edge of the scaffold, so we had to create a counterweight at the other side of the plank to keep us from tipping off.
And we did that by filling five-gallon buckets of water.
And putting it, that was the counterbalance too. So I think we had to create a pulley system to get those buckets of water.
Well, yeah. And the pulley system also was how we got all of our paint up from ground level up five heights of scaffolding.
I've got a cathedral ceiling in my house and I couldn't get up. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't stand on the top.
Well, it's an acquired taste.
You cannot be scared of heights in mural work, no.
There's a few other details that are kind of interesting about the mural. If you look at the tractor in the mural, you'll see that John Deere is written on the tractor. It's a John Deere tractor. That is actually a product endorsement. John Deere paid to have their name put on our mural.
Yeah.
And the other thing we cannot miss talking about is Squeak the Boss.
Oh, gosh.
Who is Squeak the Boss, Jean?
Oh, Squeak, as we were painting the mural, there was this little chipmunk that made himself present to us. We noticed this little guy kind of running around and everything, and we started. And we could even call this little guy out, and we said, oh, geez, you know, I started bringing bird food. And we would call Squeak. I would, you know, throw a little bit of birdseed on it. And then he was just happy as all get out, you know. So
he became part of the painting crew.
He became a part of, I painted little Squeak the Boss in the mural. So if you look up
in the prairie section, you'll see the chipmunk up there.
Yeah. He's on the kind of right underneath the cone of flowers.
And is there a story connected with the fox there in the prairie?
The fox just was unplanned in the big. Yeah, I just was inspired by I thought, gosh, let's do a fox.
It was a foreshadowing on Jane's part because foxes have returned to Iowa now, so. Mm-hmm. I think Jane invoked the spirit of the fox.
In fact, I saw a fox in our backyard.
Yeah, they're in our neighborhood too. Yeah,
this year.
Mm-hmm. It also has to be said that Mark Cassis and Terry Lohman, who had Lucullens at the time, were just wonderfully supportive hosts. They really took care of us while we were there. They were renting the
building there for their restaurant.
Yes. And their door was always open for us to use the necessary room and keep us well hydrated and iced tea and just it was really wonderful.
In fact, I remember they hosted the Democratic Party hosting of John Kerry John Kerry was running for president at the time and John Kerry saw us painting on the mural and I guess he thought we were, you know, two Iowa belles doing a quaint project and so he used us and our mural as a photo opportunity.
I've forgotten that. Yeah. Oh, that was it.
Any other memories, Jane, before we? I just remember there was a lot of interest while we were painting the mural. A lot of people stopped to talk to us about the history of Ames.
There was always a flow of folks wanting to visit with us.
it's quite something to see someone doing that kind of work. Of course it is.
It is. But sometimes when you're in the middle of a crucial blend area, when you're using acrylic paints, having to stop and talk to someone is not always the best thing to do. But it, you know, it was always very, very enjoyable to visit mm-hmm. with the public. So.
Yeah, from day one, it was a conversation piece, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming to talk to us about
welcome.
This today.
Yeah. You know, one more thing. A lot of people have mentioned, oh, how do you make such a big image? And it actually is not as hard as it seems. It's, we started with a small image. And then we divided it up into geometric a grid, and we projected it onto actually pieces of paper at Jane's house, and then used those paper. We had a machine that punched little
perforated
around the borders of the image, and then we were able to transfer the image with those pieces of paper onto the wall. So we weren't up there doing this all freehand.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when you do it there, it's quite efficient to put the picture up in perfect proportion.
And that's a common method for anyone who's doing large work
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you again.
Mm-hmm.
This is Local Talk, and I'm one of your hosts for today, Kay Puttock. We've been talking about the Ames History mural in Tom Evans Park, the two-story mural that depicts Ames history. It's scheduled to be demolished in a few weeks, so Ursula Rudenberg and Jane Graham, who are the artists who created the mural in 2003, are describing the mural and how it was created in its time. I understand the whole process of producing the mural from start to finish took about 3 years.
Jane, you really are the person who saw the whole process through. I was living in New York at the time, and we were collaborating through the internet, really, to make the design. But you were working on it, doing the hard, thankless work of preparing the mural politically and financially. It was really sometimes thankless work to do. Carol Horowitz was part of the Ames Public Arts Commission at the time and was really involved with helping make the mural happen as well. So in addition to being one of our esteemed radio producers at KHOI, Carol has been willing to come in today to talk a little bit also about the beginning of the project and the meaning of it. Carol is also known in our community as an advocate for the arts and is president of the Ames Children's Theater, as well as being the host of KHOI Previews the Arts and Curtain Up here on KHOI. So it's good to have you join us, Carol. You were definitely part of making this project happen.
It's sure mm-hmm. a pleasure because, you know, I was on the Public Art Commission at a time when things started to happen in the arts in this community. Because there was the infrastructure of downtown Ames, and we in the Public Art Commission decided that, well, if they're going to tear up all of Main Street, let's get some art. And we did. And we also got the piers on Main Street. But then you came along, the two of you, and your credentials are I don't know whether people really know, Ursula and Jane, the kind of murals you have professionally created. And you can I'm throwing you a curve, but Ursula, that was your job in New York City. So would you, does our audience know that not only are you the reason for KHOI, but also that you have you are a professional? Could you share with us, I'm the interviewer. could you share with us some of your background? And then Jane also has done some remarkable mural work. And so here we are, Public Art Commission, being offered something so remarkable from two professionals. How could we let you down? How could we not have that in Ames? Go for it. Tell us what your background is a little bit, Ursula.
Oh, this is what you get for having a radio host as a guest on your show. When I was in my 20s, I decided that I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to paint murals instead, so which my parents weren't real happy with. But I did start painting murals here in Ames in the 1970s, and that led to the Active Artist, which was a mural collective that Jane and I and Jean and a number of people had for about 3 years in Ames. We had a little studio here on Main Street. There was a mural next to the old City Hall, which is now the Youth and Shelter parking lot,
parking lot.
It was Ames Laundry, and there was a painting of a clothesline. We did murals in Beta and out in the country on barns. And like Jane said, we did a project at Tumwa, Iowa, and that experience of doing the Active Artists was really
the point of reference that I even use today in terms of how to collaborate with people artistically, because it was really an outstanding relationship that we had with each other.
To get back to the mural, I mean, you're offering this opportunity for the City of Ames through the Public Art Commission, and here you are. I mean, you're not just two young women who want to paint a wall. You are people with real credentials.
I carried that mural experience with myself to New York and ended up painting for the City of New York, Parks and Recreation, doing community murals for about 15 years. And then eventually, when the city laid me off with their cutbacks, I went to graduate school and got a Master's of Fine Art in Painting.
Yeah, and tell us about what you did.
Yeah, well, from the Bicentennial mural, I was approached by what used to be Negley Outdoor Advertising.
They did the billboards.
They painted the billboards down in Des Moines along the freeway. And because of the mural experience, that qualified me to be able to paint the billboards. And I was doing the billboards that were hand painted, and their dimension was 14 by 48 feet.
So you were like the last of the hand painted billboards.
I was. I was more or less in the heyday of outdoor advertising, and computer work started coming in. And
now everything is computer generated.
Everything is. Mm-hmm. Everything is, yes.
And so it's a different kind of art.
But it is, but it really gave me the discipline of how to efficiently do something like the historical mural.
Mm-hmm. Carol, what do you remember about the process of creating the historical mural?
I knew that there was some hesitation. I knew there were some people who didn't understand the value of what you were going to offer. But we were able to because of your background and because of your skills. And we had people like, you know, Mary D. Hegstrom and Tom Weber, and D is no longer with us, but Tom lives someplace else. And these are people who cared about Ames, who cared about this community and the arts. And so, you know, I'm going to go back to the Public Art Commission. And it was about the late 90s that things started to really happen. And Jane Griman, who also has passed away, discovered a project that they had in Cedar Rapids. It was before I got on the Public Art Commission, just before. And we called it Art Around the Corner. And it still exists. And all that art that you see, that public art that you see throughout Ames. And then what happens with those sculptors is people buy them. And so you see them in people's homes. You see them in yards. And so we started to come of age artistically. And you came just at the right time. You came right at the right time. And so we were ready to support you. We were ready to support you. And as I said, you weren't just two young women who said, I want to paint a picture. Look at that. I mean, we've just heard the kind of research that had to go into it. But I remember two very young, lovely ladies standing on scaffolds full of paint. I remember you were covered, and I just got a kick out of it. And I did, the word is kibitz. I did stop, and I hope I didn't interfere with the blending, but it's a joy and a pleasure to be with you and to again recall what you did for the City of Ames.
And as I remember, you really assembled between 50 and 75 separate donors, individuals and businesses in downtown.
Well, not myself, but we're a community, and we're a very special community. I'll stand up, I mean, with my New York accent, I will stand up for Ames. And I really think that we can stand with the best of them, and possibly maybe are better. So I thank you, women, because of what you have accomplished for Ames for all these years. And we lose art. Art doesn't last forever. And it's so wonderful that this community appreciates it, so that the Historical Society is going to do something to maintain it and in its way.
The image of the mural plus the artist's statement is in the time capsule.
Forever in Ames, and you are.
This will not be forgotten, which is the name of this mural for Get Not.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that's what you wanted and you accomplished it and congratulations.
Yes, thank you. This is Local Talk. I'm Kay Partick with Ursula Rutenberg and Jane Graham. We've been talking about the Ames History Mural, which is slated for destruction in a few weeks. Ursula and Jane created that mural. Today we had a number of guests, Randy Pyle, Kerry Dixon, Jean Griffin O'Neill, Carol Horowitz, all joined us today to tell us about the history and the future of the wall in Tom Evans Park, where today we have the Ames History Mural and soon see a renovated and repaired facade. And of course, we've been speaking with mural's artists, Ursula Rutenberg and Jane Graham. There will be a farewell ceremony for the mural on May the 2nd. The Ames History Center and Ames Cart are planning the ceremony, which will happen at 10 a.m. at the wall in Tom Evans Park. May 2nd is also the day of the first farmers market.
Today's show was engineered by Richard Morrison, and our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening. You will find today's show on the homepage at khoifm.org as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, is able to post it. Thank you, Ron.
KHOI will be holding its bi-yearly pledge drive this week. This is a great time to express how much you value the work of your neighbors do every day to make community radio possible. Basic membership is $55. Premium membership is $100. And we encourage you to think about making a $250 donation to help us meet our goal of $15,000 this week. We want $100 new members this week,
and if you've already become a member, please consider making another donation. Call 515-292-2878, 292-2878, and thank you to Scott Kovac, host of Road Trip Iowa, which airs on Sundays from 10 to 11 p.m. He has just joined as a member. Thank you, Scott. Really appreciate it, and thanks for your show. We love it when you come down to help in the fund drive, too. So we are at 410 Douglas in Ames, Iowa, and you are welcome to come down. It's a fun time to be at the station during the fund drives. So please remember that you, as a listener, are always the most important part of KHOI, and you are what makes Local Talk possible. So thank you for your participation as the audience. Thank you for donating during this fund drive, and thank you for listening. And we will see you again on the radio.
It's Pledge Week at KHOI, and we're reaching out to listeners who haven't yet become members of this community radio station. Currently, about 200 folks are contributing members to KHOI, but our broadcast signal reaches nearly 400,000 people in central Iowa. We'd like to close that gap by adding you to our family right now. How do you know if you should join KHOI's family of member supporters, you might ask? If you listen to KHOI, or if KHOI is one of the stations you listen to every day, or if KHOI is your favorite radio station, then you should definitely become a member of the KHOI family. Basic membership starts at $55. It's about 15 cents a day. There's a premium membership at $100 a year. And our 500 Families membership is $250 or more. You pledge whatever's right for you. Call 515-292-2878 or pledge securely online at khoifm.org. Become a member of KHOI now. You'll feel good knowing you've done the right thing.